Listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com, and it's also freely available as a download on iTunes. Today I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to speak with yet another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I'd like to say hello to Phyllis. Hey, Phyllis, welcome. It's great to have you here today. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you. And I'm excited to be here too. It's a great opportunity.
It is. I'm excited to get to know a little bit more of your story. So to get us started, could you introduce yourself, who you are, where you're from, what keeps you busy?
My name is Phyllis Edwards, and I'm 66 years old, and I come from New Zealand, and I like to hang out with friends, and I also work in an early childhood centre, and that's my passion as well. And I write down my feelings about the children's stories, and I write down other things. And I'm a nerd on the computer, but I've discovered it's a really, really great way to be in with stammering communities.
Yeah. Wow. So you work with. So what's the age range of the children that you work with?
Between age 2 and 5, only I quite like the 2 and 3 year olds as they're at that age where. That they're just emerging and they just say it how it is and that they want to learn.
Yeah. And young kids are, in at least in my experience, they don't have any judgments or they don't have any preconceived notions yet about anything, right?
No, yeah, and that's really true. And as I said, they see it how it is. And so if you're reading a story and it takes a bit longer, then that's fine.
Mm-hmm. They probably don't even really care.
No, that's right.
Right. So do the children that you work with know that you have a stammer?
I don't think so. Not really. As you just build up relationships with them. Mm-hmm. And we were given a storybook about a panda bear, and it was amazing, who has a stammer, and we were reading it, and another teacher who discovered it read it first, and afterwards I said, which teacher he has got a stammer, and these children named every other teacher barring me. It was amazing.
Oh my goodness, that is amazing. Wow. Yeah. And what about the other teachers and your co-workers? Are you open about your stammering with them?
Yes, I am. And people, and I think that's why right at the start I was able to do my dream, as I had negativity from family and that. But right through all of my tutors and that, they've all been really supportive, and they just treat it as I may have a stammer, but another teacher might be tall or short or just stuff like that, and it just doesn't matter. And parents and that, I seem to be able to build up good relationships with too, because it's just, yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's just me really.
Yeah, and I like the way you say that, like, it's just something, you know, about us, like tall and short and blue eyes and green eyes and stammer, yeah. And doesn't stammer. And that's a great way to approach it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that you're kind of a newbie to the computer, but you've realize that the internet has kind of helped you be part of the stammering community. How long have you been involved with the stammering community?
About the last 18 months, and as I say, I'm a computer nerd, and it just kind of popped up one day on it, and then it went from there, really, and I went to the conference in Wales and then to the Iceland one, and it was just amazing. And it was just really knowing that, particularly with the bit about how as a child in the old days it wasn't really handled as gently as it could be, that there was all these other people who'd experience that too. And then at the time you think it's just you, really, but it's not just you, is it? It's everybody.
Right. And it's pretty amazing, right? To like, because I thought the same thing too when I was younger and growing up, because I had never met anybody else who stutters. We call it that here in the United States, stutter, and you call it stammer. But I had never met anybody. So as a child, I felt very weird, very awkward, and I really thought that I was the only one, you know, and that's a terrible
feeling.
Yeah,
I can understand that.
Yeah.
It was, but don't you think, and the only way I could express it was that even though that we have the stutter, that there's something in us that makes us stronger like a seed in that, and it just kind of, with the right people around, and I mean, I don't even know if there is a stammering support group in that in New Zealand, and there probably is, but to my mind, you guys are just so inspirational, you know?
Aww.
I'll try to explain it properly, but I can't really, as I'm a heart girl, really, and it comes from my heart. And like without Alexis and Anita and stuff like that, and then you appeared and others and that, I don't think I'd have done any of this, really, even though I really, really wanted to, as I was worried about the fact that it took me so long to actually do it, that I wanted other girls to realise younger, as you're probably aware, on those stammering Facebook pages, there's posts about ladies worried about having a baby in case that they stammer and stuff like that, and that just broke my heart, and I hadn't realised that. I suppose I was just too selfish and I just wanted children, and so I just kind of,
Oh, I don't think that's selfish, you know? Maybe I misunderstood you. Are you saying that you thought that you were being selfish by you wanting to have children, or you couldn't understand why some of the ladies on the page were posting that?
No. Having read that, and it hadn't kind of entered my head not to, but having read their caring and their thoughtfulness, it went through my mind really briefly, was I selfish in having them? As I know that growing up with a mother who does have a stammer has its challenges in that at school. And my guys are growing up now. And on my last trip, they both, in their own way, without being asked, contributed money in that. And that really moved me, as even though we haven't ever really talked about it much, it was their way of saying, hey, Mum, we're proud of you, really.
Oh, gosh. I'm getting goosebumps just listening to you.
You will have made me cry, too.
Oh, my goodness. So you and your children had never really talked about it, and then you found them giving you some funds towards your trip? Wow.
Yeah. And we had kind of had our moments, like I was aware that they got bullied at primary school, but they didn't really talk too much about it.
Oh, gosh.
Really.
And what about your husband? What does he think? How has he been with this with this whole journey of yours?
Oh, he's just really amazing, and he just accepts me how I am. He always has. And then when we go on these conferences, as if I had to go on my own, I'd get lost at Wellington Airport, and that would be the end of me. I'd never be seen again. But I don't ever ask him to attend the actual conferences and that. As I say that he's had me all this time, and that's enough. But he's really supportive. And as you've probably read on the second one, on the Iceland one, we had to have our annual review at the bank, and I'd applied for a scholarship in Iceland. And he said, coming in the door, he said, "Oh, blow it, I'm going to ask to put it on our mortgage." And I'm going, "No, no, you can't. You don't do that. Don't do that. Wait for the scholarship and see what happens." And he said, "No, no, I believe in you." And so that's what happened with that one. And then the scholarship, I'm assuming I'm allowed to share it on here. And if it isn't appropriate, you'll wipe it out, won't you?
Yes, I mean, that's like, fine.
Oh, that's good. And then the scholarship I got, and it came through, and it said that you had to share a hotel room with three other women. And Donald and I hadn't been out of New Zealand until the previous trip. And I said to him, "No, you've organised this. I'm not going all the way to Iceland and sleeping in a separate room for three nights." And so I just turned the scholarship down.
Okay.
Which was fine.
But so your husband came to both conferences with you, the one
yes,
in
he
Wales.
Does.
Wow.
Yes, he does. Otherwise, as I say, I'd have got lost at Wellington Airport anyway, and I wouldn't trust myself on my own.
So did he get an opportunity to meet other people who stammer at both of those events?
Oh, yes, he did. And with the one in Wales, and I'm still not sure why, I only really registered for a day. And so he just came and mucked around outside. But I learnt my lesson, I suppose. And then with the Iceland one, we stayed at the Ork Hotel, and they had organised tours and all sorts of things. And so we all really just mixed in together.
Mm-hmm.
And so
very nice. That's
really,
that
really lovely.
Very nice. I didn't go to the one in Iceland. I was supposed to go, but I had some unavoidable, tricky circumstances. But I understand there was a women's group, or a women's workshop at the Iceland conference. Did you attend that?
I did. Anita, as you know, has been my mentor on that, and so I tried to kind of go to the ones that she was in as well as. And it was just amazing. And there again, like, you meet these women, and they just really get you, you know. I can't really explain it in any other words, and they just really understand. And to be in the room with these women was just an amazing experience, and I'll just remember forever. And there were some other workshops too. Eric, who works with children, I think his last name's Eric Ray, I'm not sure. He's heard of you though too, and he had a workshop that was titled something about computers and technology, and I thought, that's a waste of time. Me, as my computer skills are so bad, and yet something in me said go. and it was just amazing. And he actually works with children who stammer, and he works through the technology and the computers. And then there was another workshop by a man named Daniel, and he had cartoons and that. And then there was an acting workshop, and I can't think of the name of it, and that was amazing too. And here's all these people who stutter were able to do scenarios and that. And it was just really neat. I just loved the whole thing. It was just amazing. And it just empowers you, eh?
Right. I mean, that's the beauty of these organizations and communities and the events, because you go and you meet all these other people, and you feel in your heart and your gut that they just get you on that very core level of yourself, because they've experienced it too, and it kind of just changes your life, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's changed my life, I can tell you.
Yeah. Now, so we connected with each other, Phyllis, because you submitted a wonderful paper on the International Stuttering Awareness Day online conference, and I read it, and I made a comment on it, and that's how we've managed to connect today.
That's right. And I was really excited.
What drove you to want to write a paper about your experiences?
Last year, after the London one, I'd actually seen the paper online and that submissions by Anita, and then after I came back and I was feeling down about not having spoken, I messaged her and I said, is it too late? And it was too late, as the submissions had closed. And so she said, perhaps next year. And it was in that conversation and that she said, perhaps it's time that you paid it forward. And I've always kind of put it down on paper as that's been until now really my only outlet. And so I just write it down. And sometimes I'd show others, and other times I just store it all away.
So being able to express yourself in writing is probably really good self-therapy for you, right?
Yeah, truly. And it's just amazing. And there again, I have to have the help of Grammarly and spell check and stuff like that. And then when I was sending the paper to Bruce and that, Donald had to kind of do all of the emails and that. And so when people say it takes a village to raise a child, I reckon it takes a technology team to help me express myself sometimes like that.
But now look at you. We're on a Skype call. You're in New Zealand. I'm in New York in the USA.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Look at it. It is amazing, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, it's all right. I don't mind. I was going to say, and I'm kind of a God girl, like I don't go to church regularly, but I think things happen for a reason too at the right time, eh?
I definitely agree with you on that. Like, things happen at the time that you're ready for them to happen, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's that makes lots of sense. As if I'd had to kind of talk to you prior to having had these conferences and been in a stammering community, I'd have probably run a mile. Even though I always wanted to kind of help people, yeah, I think that the timing's right. And like even last week when we couldn't do it, I felt ill in my stomach, whereas this week I felt excitement and just pleased to have the opportunity to meet you, really, you know. And so the timing was right, I reckon.
Yes. It is. It was. And you know, like, I kind of like the saying or the thought, like, when the timing is right, magic happens.
Oh, yeah, that's neat. I like that too now.
Yeah. I mean, and
yeah, it's true, like, though. Eh? It's true.
Yeah, like, it's true with you, it seems like, you know, like, you know, you went, you dipped yourself into the stammering community at a time when it was right for you, and magic happened. I mean, you met all these people, you've put yourself out there, you've been courageous, and nothing happened to you. You didn't get struck down by lightning.
No, I didn't. I wondered, but I didn't.
So tell us a little bit, the listeners, tell us a little bit about, you know, what you said in your paper. Like, what does, so the theme for this year's conference was growth through speaking. And you talked a little bit about in your paper what speaking up has meant to you. Can you just kind of share that with us in your voiced words?
How do you mean, like?
Well, you know, saying it here today.
Cool. Sorry.
Yeah, no,
I am really out technical. And it's meant heaps and heaves. And apart from cleansing me and healing me, I just couldn't believe I could do that. And when I went, as I shared, to the English one, I just couldn't do it. And then the Iceland one, and if I go on too long, stop me, won't you? As it was amazing, we were all in the room and that, and Anita was due to speak after me, and I was sitting there, and I can't remember the name of the hostess who was in charge of the open mic, and she was a really, really lovely young girl. And so she said, who wants to speak on the open mic, as we only have time for three or four? And then this amazing old man, he got up and he shared, and then a young girl got up and she shared. And then the lady hostessing said, is there anybody else? And my arms have a life of their own at church at the times I go and at work and that. And I can still remember, I went, me, it's my turn now, I'm coming, it's my turn now. And then she, and up I got, and she handed me the microphone, and I got up there and I was speaking, and I said, hello, my name is Phyllis Edwards, and where I came from. And I thought, how rude, who's this posh voice speaking over the top of me? And then I realised, oh my gosh, it was me. And so, and I thought, and my mouth might not work now. What have I done? And I thought, I can't just run, otherwise I'll disappoint all these people at home and that. And then all of a sudden I felt in my head I could see Karen and Melissa and the other girls at home who had supported me and Anita and that. And so I thought, no, I can do this. And as you'll be aware, in a room like that, I was also aware too that every person in that room was willing me to carry on and do this. And so I was able to share about Mum, and I just carried on and shared what's in the paper and that. And then at the end of it, I handed the lady the microphone back, and I was walking back to my seat, and it was all quiet, and then all of a sudden I heard all of this rumbling noise in that. And I thought, no, I've broken her microphone or broken something. And then as I reached my seat, I realised that the people around me were all standing up. And I've never felt so humble in my life.
Wow.
And it was just amazing. And I just thought, yes, you can do this with support. And it was just amazing. And to me, speaking up like that's put me in contact with you and all these other people. And it's just been, and I'd never ever take it lightly. And an example is when I was back at work in that, and I was sharing it with these girls who are amazingly supportive, and they don't see me with a stammer, they just see me as a tricky old lady who likes to play pranks on people. And I said, I don't feel like I've got that extra horn sticking out of my head anymore. And then there was silence. So they just looked really upset and horrified. They said, fellas, you shouldn't be thinking like that. And yet that's how I felt, you know.
Yeah.
And so speaking up if you can, when you can. And I just, if I had a regret, it would be I hadn't done it 20 years ago. But then, as you say in that, and as I say, the timing wasn't right, was it then?
Right. Wow, what an amazing story. You know, like, it just seems like everything comes directly from your heart. And yeah. I can hear that in your voice. That's just really amazing. And, you know, all the women that have helped you, you're now going to help people following in your footsteps. People, you know.
I hope so.
You know, I know so. I mean.
Thank you.
All the comments on your paper are just really, like, astounding. It's just, I was just like, I read a couple of them and I'm like, you go, girl.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned also a few minutes ago, you mentioned that all of this has been very healing and cleansing for you. Am I right?
Yeah, that's perfectly true.
So what is it that has been cleansed? Like, have you carried something around with you for a number of years?
Yes, I have. And I've carried baggage, and you can please yourself if you edit this part too. I don't mind either way. Having in the past week or so, I've had some flashbacks again as I felt a wee bit unloyal to my mother, but as I know, and my husband says I make excuses for her, but it was a long time ago and she was on her own, and so she probably had no other way of kind of dealing with it. But I look at these children at kindy and that, and I think that there's no way I would treat my children like that, but there is more support in that nowadays. I know, and I just feel like the baggage I carried and the rubbish I put up with, if I had another chance, I might not put up with it. And I just feel like, it sounds terrible, I feel like a person that is worthy, and even though that people who I'm close to had tried to tell me that, until I had the stammering community and stuff like that, I don't think I ever really felt worthy, really, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you'd understand that too, eh?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I tried to hide my stuttering for 30 years. I was with a man for 20 years, and he didn't know that I stuttered.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, well.
Oh, you're really brave.
Well, you know, like, he didn't know because I let him do all the talking. I avoided everything. And I finally reached that point where I just said to myself, I can't do this anymore. And like you, I found the stuttering community, and I went to something and met other people who stutter, especially women. And I'll tell you, the first time I went to a support group meeting and met another woman who stutters, I couldn't even talk. I was just crying like crazy, from relief, you know, like,
yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah. And it changed my life. I can't even identify with that Pam anymore because I'm a new Pam. So yes, I can very, very, very much get that, you know, from you. And I think even though, you know, people who stammer, you know, we're only 1% of the population. So there's not that many of us until we come to those events, right?
Yeah.
But I think women in particular, I think women tend to feel, because society tells us this anyway, that we have to be prettier, we have to be skinnier, we have to wear makeup, we have to do our hair like this. And
that's, you know, so true.
We already can feel inferior or not worthy. And then you add stammering to it, and it's like, oh my gosh, like, you just feel like you don't measure up.
Yeah.
You felt that,
right? I can understand
that,
too. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
And you explained it really well, too.
Yeah.
You do. And it just kind of drops off you.
Yeah, it's like a weight just, like, coming up, you know, like, coming off, like, we have this restaurant here in the United States. It's called the Outback Steakhouse.
Oh, yeah.
And they have this thing called a blooming onion. So it's this huge onion that they deep fry. And to eat it, you have to peel off layers.
Oh.
You know, and I think that's what happens with stammering and shame.
Yeah.
We peel back all those layers that we've, you know, carried around with us for so long, and all of a sudden we feel lighter, you know.
Yeah, that's right too.
Yeah.
And you just feel kind of worthy, and I mean, and it sounds contradictory, as I know I have this group of friends, and I have a husband. And my family and that, and they've all tried to kind of make me feel worthy, and they accept me how I am, and people do accept you, but it's hard to explain, isn't it? It's just, and yeah, it's just that, oh yes, well, I'm a writer, I can do anything now, you know?
Yeah, right, like magic happens, you know?
Yeah.
Here I am. I am woman. I am strong. Hear me roar.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So in kind of wind down time, time goes so fast when we're doing these. What advice would you give to a young girl or even somebody in her 20s? That is first experiencing this, like trying to be open about stammering. What advice would you offer?
My last comment on my paper page, I read it last night and this morning, and the lady was asking me what advice I'd give to a young girl who was struggling with it, and that kind of hit a chord. And I just think, and when I answer it, I'm going to say, and it was the first thing that entered my head, was immerse yourself as much as you can in the stammering communities. And I was also going to tell her, and I will, that we're really lucky nowadays as we have that technology of the computers and that. And that's just what went through my head. Just immerse yourself in the technology. And I'm also going to tell her, if I'm allowed to, on the rules of the conference and that, she's most welcome, and I hope that she keeps in contact with me. Yeah. And I was going to see where that she lived in that, as Alexis Parker and Anita in that. They're really neat too, and you. And it just kind of, and they were all amazing comments, but this one this morning just hit an extra chord, I think. Mm. And then you've asked me that question, and so that's really amazing.
Yeah. And you know what's even more amazing is that, you know, you've done this podcast, and it'll be out there, it'll be on the internet, and people will listen to it, and you won't even know who's listening to it. But
no,
somebody will be inspired just by what you're sharing, you know? And that is really like a glorious feeling to know that we can have an impact on other people and not even realize it. And that's what paying it forward is all about, right?
Yeah. Yes, and that's so true. And then at the Iceland conference, I did what I did for me, but I was also hoping I'd help at least one other person realise earlier in life. And then just by the paper and these other things, I may have helped more than one. And it's just amazing. I mean, I'm only me, really, eh? You know?
Yeah. But you know what? You're a special me. And you finally realized that, you know? And it's funny, when I first started off doing this podcast for women who stutter, just women, I thought that it wasn't gonna last, that women weren't gonna wanna do this. But I have interviewed 220 women across the United States and 39 countries.
That's amazing.
When you ask someone to share their story, they want to. It's just a simple matter of asking. Nobody ever asks women who stutter to share our story. So
that's so true.
Right. Because it's all men that we hear about, you know. And for you to say, I'm just me, well, you want other girls and young women to believe that as well, that I'm me, but I'm good enough.
and that you can still follow your dreams.
Right.
And you made me cry at night, and I had to have a wine too, was I read your comments about that you always wanted to be a teacher. And that just made me bawl. I just sat here and I bawled. And I messaged Melissa at about 10:30 at night, as her and I support each other too. And I said, sorry if I woke you up, I'm sorry, but I just have to tell you this. I just felt so humble, and I just thought that you were so brave. And I just thought that with the people around me and that seed inside me, I was able to do it. And I just wished I could tell you, quick, it's not too late. And it's not too late. You could be a teacher. You'd be a really good teacher.
Oh, well, thank you. And, but yeah, I really believed that. I really believed that nobody would want to hear my voice, and that I shouldn't subject other people to my voice. And fortunately, I've learned that it's okay, that, you know, it is okay, that my voice is important.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. That really makes me feel good that what I shared, you know, kind of impacted you emotionally, like that. And, you know, I really appreciate you coming on the show today, Phyllis, and sharing parts of your story and being so authentic. That's just so wonderful.
Thank you for having me and for the opportunity. As I never ever dreamt that the girl who children and family at schools danced around in a circle and said, "Ha, that's a Samwing girl," would actually be doing a podcast with you. Or standing up and doing that.
Amazing, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.
none.